Hi, this is Amy Beheimer, and you are listening to the Habit Hub for Autoimmune Health, Habit 38, Make Happiness a Habit. Welcome to the Habit Hub for Autoimmune Health, a podcast to help you shift from managing autoimmune disease to creating autoimmune health using the power of everyday habits. I'm your host, Amy Beheimer, a coach and doctor of pharmacy on a mission to create health and happiness with multiple sclerosis. Here we focus on everyday lifestyle habits proven to help the mind and body heal from the cell up without sacrificing the true joys of life along the way. To create autoimmune health in the mind and body, you have to be great at one thing, the skill of mastering habits. That's why each episode includes everything you need to do just that. Evidence-based information and real-life inspiration from the experience of my guests, my clients, and yours truly. All habit heroes brave enough to turn a desire for health into daily decisions to create it. Let's have some fun. Welcome, everybody, to another episode, another habit. I'm so glad you're here. I want to start with asking if there's any Sex and the City fans out there. My roommates and I, all throughout pharmacy school, loved to devour the episodes during study breaks. Hi, Lisa and Jenny. I know you're listening. There is an episode where each of the women reveal their SSB, which is their secret single behavior, the things they do when they're alone, living single, that they never really talk about. So I'm wondering if you can relate, only instead it's a secret MS behavior, or maybe RA, or IBD, or any other diagnosis. Something you do that you don't necessarily talk about, but it's related to or because of an autoimmune gift or reality. So what's my secret MS behavior? Buying shoes. Not what you may think when you hear of someone with a shoe obsession. For me, I convince myself that walking will feel easy, or I'll be a bit faster with just the right pair of shoes. That next pair will finally have the right support, the right weight, the right angle of the toe, or other magical detail that my feet and my gait have been waiting for. You should see my Google searches. Comfortable but stylish shoes for people with gait disturbances, or not ugly support shoes. I have definitely Googled that before. And the best part is the lists are out there, and believe me, I've tried them all. Sometimes I order several so I can have a little walk test at home. And here comes the secret part. If four boxes show up, again, I'll try them on, and when they don't work, like most of them don't, I try to send them back before my husband Ben sees them. Once he came in from the porch holding a box that looked like a shoebox, because it definitely was, and said, "Oh, babe, they're here." And I said, "What?" I was excited to see what was here. And he said, "The shoes that will perfect your stride." So I guess it really wasn't a secret. He's definitely on to me. So if anyone wants brand recommendations, I've got you. Reach out and save some time and some money. Anyway, I'm happy to report. I'm telling you this today because I'm currently digging what I'm now calling my signature shoe. Three colors, they're great for work and play, and they have me feeling confident in my walk. So I was wearing them before coming up to my office to record this episode and thought maybe someone can relate and is willing to share their secret autoimmune behavior with me. So if you have one, I want to hear it. But all that confident walking may have nothing to do with the shoes and everything to do with these habits of mine. And today I'm sharing one of my favorites, a real game changer in my emotional and mental health. And you may be skeptical that making feeling the feeling of happy a habit could really relate to my walking, but I choose to believe that it does. It's all connected. And one habit leads to another and another. And before we know it, we are feeling healthy again. This is one of those inner habits of health, the one happening under the surface, just as important as the outer ones, and really maybe even more so. So as we often do with the what of a habit, let's start with some definitions. Defining happiness is more like picking a definition of happiness. There are so many out there. There are actually 15 academic definitions that exist. and everyone has an opinion on happiness. I feel like it can even sometimes be a trigger for people who, for one reason or another, just don't like the word or the concept. So if that's you, that's okay. Pick a feeling you want more of, because today's habit can be used to make that feeling you crave a habit. Maybe it's feeling healthy. Is it feeling strong? Maybe it's content. Content is one of my favorite emotions to feel. Just remember that the how may look a little different depending on the feeling you are trying to make a habit, but there will absolutely be ideas that will work for any habit that you want more of. Brené Brown is an amazing author and researcher, and she has a book called Atlas of the Heart, which goes into the science behind emotions and feelings. So before defining happiness, she tells us that what makes her not happy, and that is that there's no consensus in the research to define happiness. She then summarizes from the data collected that happiness is defined as feeling pleasure, often related to immediate environment or current circumstances. She also compares it with joy, which is interesting because they likely get used interchangeably. But the difference is happiness seems to be stable, longer lasting, and normally the result of effort. How perfect is that for our habit today? Putting in the effort to make it a habit. So what's your definition of happiness? I really invite you to pause or make a note to do this tonight when you're done driving, when you're back from your walk, or the next time you pull out your journal. This is the action part. Write down what you want your definition of happiness to be. When I'm redefining words, I often start with a little brainstorming session, seeing it on paper before trying to craft it into a sentence that my brain can really hold on to. Another definition I love of happiness is that happiness is that feeling that comes over you when you know life is good and you can't help but smile. Simple, to the point, happiness is also defined as a state of well-being and contentment. There's that content feeling again. So my definition takes what I love from others and adds in my own flair. It's been a couple years since I did this exercise, so I decided to revisit it with a fresh vibe and rewrite even my own definition. Proof that sometimes the work we choose to do is just a refresh on something that felt good before. So here goes. 2024, Amy's definition of happiness is accepting of the full range of human experiences happening in my life, while still finding something to laugh about and someone to laugh with. So take what you like, leave what you don't, my friends, and of course, add what you need to your definition of happiness. So let's get to the why. Why does cultivating more happiness create autoimmune health? Happiness is a feeling. Just a quick recap on the habit cycle if you're new, or if you're not new, I think I can never hear these things too many times. Useful concepts and ideas have a way of landing differently at different times based on what we need in that moment. So here goes. There's a flow to the things happening in our brain, also known as our thoughts. It flows with the things happening in our hearts, also known as our feelings. And definitely the flow continues to our bodies, also known as our actions. So we have the facts of the world. We then have thoughts about those facts. Our thoughts create a feeling, and from that feeling, we act. Or sometimes a feeling causes us not to act or not to do something we may want to do. So for completeness sake, where the cycle comes in the habit cycle, is that the things that we do or don't do ultimately create our experience in life, which, funnily enough, ends up proving our thoughts true. So here's a quick habit cycle in action. You are listening to this podcast. That's a fact. You have a thought, I want to use habits to feel healthy, and Amy is the one I want teaching me about them. That's wishful thinking for me, right? But stay with me. So that could be a version of the thought that came when you thought about this podcast. That thought has you feeling curious or maybe hopeful. So you tune in and you're listening now because you had a thought and a feeling that had you hitting play. That's the action. And the experience that you create is being a listener of this show, proving that thought that brought you here. Amy can help me learn how to make habits that feel healthy. Voila. Sounds simple enough, right? The tricky part is when we have thoughts and feelings that are so ingrained, we may not even be able to separate the two. The key is to find a way to slow down and get some awareness of what some of the default or habitual thoughts and feelings are that are driving our life. I guarantee that if you think of the happiest person you know and really ask them why they feel happy, they're going to offer a thought that makes them feel happy. And the cool thing about what I teach and what I practice, and of course help my clients practice, is that we can make and break habits not only in our actions, but in our thoughts and in our feelings. And today, this is where we are. We are going to make a habit of a feeling, which means we have the powerful science of habit change at our fingertips. Well, at least you do if you're a listener of the Habit Hub. So because habits are the default in our lives, if happy or insert whatever feeling you've chosen to dial up for the purpose of today's habit doesn't feel automatic or doesn't feel like it gets a lot of airtime in your day, and you want it to, I've got you covered. You're in the right place. Feel the difference between these two thoughts. I'm unhappy. That's thought one. Thought two, I have a habit of feeling unhappy. The first one probably feels like a fact that you can't do much about. The second one, that you have a habit of feeling unhappy, probably feels like a clear problem that together we can work to solve or navigate at least. We can work with that, which is what we're doing next. On to the how. I'm going to pull out the old ABC habit playbook to give you some ideas on how to make happiness a habit. One is using the strategy of other people. Who is someone in your life that you consider to be happy? Ask yourself, how can you spend a little more time with them this week? Science proves that the habits of other people rub off on us. So this is a key strategy if we want to feel more happiness. Another one is the strategy of scheduling. What we schedule on our calendars has a higher probability of getting done. So we may not often think of scheduling time for happiness, but we should be scheduling these things just like scheduling the dentist or scheduling other things we feel we need to do. So how can you schedule 20 minutes of something that makes you happy this week? Next up is the strategy of monitoring. Monitoring doesn't always require that we do something or that we change our actions, but often it leads to it. So what would it be like to take note of how many times in a day you find yourself in a unhappy thought pattern? Now take notice of how many times you find yourself thinking positive thoughts that have you feeling happy. We don't have to change anything, but just start out with monitoring it so that we can then have that data and see if we want to make some changes. And the last how is to practice a thought that makes you feel happy. You've likely heard practice makes perfect, but I see a functional neurologist, so shout out to Dr. Owens and Dr. Campbell. They've helped me wake up. I'm not sure if that's how they would put it, but they helped me wake up pathways in my nervous system that have just been lying dormant. So yes, some of my nerves are diseased and broken and maybe missing myelin, or has myelin that just doesn't want to function or play nice. But some of my nerves and pathways just need a little reminder to turn on and to get to work. Anyway, they taught me that it's not practice makes perfect, it's practice makes permanent. So what we practice takes hold and sticks with us. So let's ensure we are practicing on purpose, with intent, thoughts that have us feeling a little bit happier. On to your do of the day. Discover what makes you happy. What activities make it super easy to think happy, fueling thoughts? Keep it handy and take notice of what you're thinking when you're doing them. And be sure to calendar at least one happiness habit forming block on it today. And every day, if you're up for it, even 5 minutes, because we can trust in the tiny. You can try borrowing thoughts from others for ideas, but like all emotions and habits, they're so personal. So trying to answer what is the best way to be happy by looking at others may not always work. It's kind of like answering what's the best way to cook an egg. It really depends on the person. It depends how you like it. So if you're having trouble coming up with this big list of things that make you happy, try going at it from the other direction. What makes you unhappy? Sometimes that can unveil the flip side where the happy lives. Here's an example. I never would have thought of this one unless I reverse engineered it. What's something that makes me unhappy? Being late, rushing. Knowing that helped me realize that it makes me happy to be early and to have plenty of time to get places. Another one, in case these examples are helpful, I was really unhappy with my core strength. This was several years ago. I was unaware of a thought running on repeat or habitual thought that a weak core just came with my diagnosis, and I was unhappy with it. So the flip side of that, feeling strong, especially in my core, made me happy. So to make happiness a habit, I used the strategy of scheduling, and I scheduled time to work on my core strength. As part of this mission to increase my core strength, I actually joined a club Pilates, and at one class with a new teacher, we had a moment together to remember. Some of you are going to hear this and may have felt offended if you were in my shoes, but my definition of happiness is to laugh where I can at the full human experience. If you remember, I shared that at the beginning, the positive and the not so positive. So I did that with the situation I'm about to tell you. My symptoms, or I like to call them my reminders, are more prominent on my right side of my body. Not quite the same amount of strength and range of motion or fluidity on that right side. So I was doing the exercise in the Pilates class on the reformer, and the teacher didn't know my story or my history and came over and stood above me, and she looked really perplexed. She waved her hand over me up and down, kind of motioning from my head to my toes, and I could see she was trying to figure out what was going on with my body, and what came out of her mouth was, "What exactly is happening here?" So instead of getting offended or hurt, I smiled and said, "MS, enough said." So try that trick to go at it to find things that make you happy by starting with things that may make you unhappy. Can't wait to hear what you find. So I hope you're still with me through my longer than usual stories on today's episode. I'm wrapping this up super soon, but I can't have a podcast episode on happiness without sharing the three macronutrients of happiness from the research of Harvard professor Arthur Brooks. I love these macronutrients because as a coach, I work with clients on all three. The first macronutrient to happiness is meaning or purpose. The second one is satisfaction or making progress on something. And the third is experiencing pleasure or pure joy. These are good to remember as you go about starting to make happiness a habit. Think about which of these macronutrients could use some of your attention. Really deciding if one of these areas is missing can help you identify the right problem to solve for. And that's a shout out to Habit 35 if you want to go back and listen. Okay, and lastly, if you're here and you're listening in real time, it's March of 2024. Today is the day to schedule your roadmap session with me. If you know you want to start feeling healthy again, you want to create health moving forward, I've got some great reasons that now is the time. First, inside my group coaching program, the club, we spend each month going deep into a spoke of the Habit Hub, spoke by spoke, month by month. You'll gain the knowledge, energy, and skills to start feeling healthy again. And in April, we start at the top of the Habit Hub with Mindset Matters. So it's the perfect time. I've got more reasons that we're going to cover during your roadmap session, mainly a couple bonuses that I have waiting for you if you join me before April 1st. I really want to help you make this an easy decision to get started today. All of that starts with booking your time with me. I cannot wait to meet you, and I will leave the link to schedule your call in the show notes. But for those who want it now, it's www.amybeheimercoaching.com/join. So grab your spot today. Future you will thank you, and I'll leave you with a quote from Anne Frank in The Diary of a Young Girl. Whoever is happy will make others happy. Bye. Thank you for joining me for this episode of The Habit Hub. I am forever grateful for the time, energy, and attention you share with me. Are you ready to take what you learn here on The Habit Hub to the next level and apply it? I'd love to invite you to feel the magic that happens when I wish becomes I will by joining me inside Club Habit Hub, your home for making health a habit. I'll teach you, coach you, guide you, and cheer you on as you learn and take action to create autoimmune health in your mind and body, so you can feel better today and worry less about tomorrow. head to www.amybeheimercoaching.com/join to get access to the coaching, curriculum, and community waiting for you inside Club Habit Hub. I'll see you inside. And one last thing, be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next episode where I just might cover the habit your body has been waiting for. If you're feeling extra generous, please leave a rating and a review. It's the best way to help other warriors find us here. Special thanks to my editor, Sarah. The Habit Hub is a production of Amy Beheimer Coaching, LLC. Talk soon.